Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We're here again to unpack some big ideas, hopefully helping you navigate life with a bit more clarity.
Yeah, more confidence too.
Exactly. And today, we're really diving into proactive well-being. There's this powerful concept we want to explore called the resolve to prevent. We're drawing on some, well, timeless teachings, really, that offer a kind of roadmap for steering away from those unskillful patterns, those harmful compulsive loops we can get stuck in.
Right.
The mission today, I suppose, is to see how this ancient wisdom, maybe mixed with some modern understanding, gives us a clear path towards, you know, more freedom, more peace.
And it connects directly to the framework we often talk about, the RAFT to freedom. This whole idea comes from a key part of the workbook.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and remember, RAFT isn't just a name. It's this potent metaphor for that journey of personal transformation, of healing.
Building that sturdy vessel.
Precisely. Equipping yourself with the tools you need to navigate life's, let's face it, complexities.
Good.
Moving away from old challenges towards real well-being.
So I guess the core question is, how do we actively stop ourselves drifting back, you know, towards those familiar, maybe unskillful shores? How do we keep steering towards freedom and peace?
Yeah, that's the heart of it.
When we talk about prevention for well-being, it can sound a bit defensive.
Yeah.
Like just avoiding bad stuff.
That's a really good point. And no, it's definitely not just passive avoidance.
Okay.
This idea of preventing is actually the first of what are called the four right efforts, sometimes called the four intentions.
Right. Part of wise effort.
Exactly. Semavayama. And wise effort isn't just gritting your teeth and trying hard. It's about the conscious, balanced, and crucially continuous application of energy.
Mm.
So think of wise effort, like the captain, the navigator, the whole crew of your RAFT. They're actively managing the course, checking the conditions.
Okay, I like that.
And the resolve to prevent, specifically. That's like using your navigational charts really diligently. You know, the hazards marked on the map, the triggers, the hindrances, and you actively steer clear before they cause damage.
So it's proactive. Constant vigilance.
Constant vigilance, not just reacting when you hit the rocks.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. If wise effort is navigating the RAFT, what are these specific hazards?
Mm-hmm.
These storms, these reefs we need to look out for, what are we preventing?
Great question. The main internal hazards, the ones we really need to prevent from arising or taking hold, are often called the five hindrances.
The five hindrances.
Okay. You might have heard the old Pali terms like Kamachanda for the first one, but essentially they are, well, first, sensual desire.
Okay.
And this isn't just, you know, enjoying a nice meal. It's more like that alluring siren song, those deceptive islands on the map that pull you towards fleeting pleasures.
Yeah.
The real danger isn't the pleasure itself, maybe, but how desperately chasing it traps us. It keeps us needing more, distracts us from real contentment, makes stillness impossible.
Right. That makes sense.
Well,
what's next?
Second is ill will. Think sudden storms, treacherous reefs on your journey. This is hostility, resentment, even that harsh inner critic. It just turns up the waters of the heart.
Makes it hard to see clearly.
Impossible sometimes. You can't make wise choices when you're swamped by ill will. Third is sloth and torpor.
Sloth and torpor. Sounds heavy.
It is, like dense fog banks or those patches of stagnant water where you just stop. It clouds your visibility, halts your progress.
Yeah.
It's that mental dullness, that inertia, that feeling of, oh, I just can't be bothered.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
We all do. Then number four, restlessness and worry. Picture whirlpools, choppy seas, maybe an anchor dragging behind you.
Anxiety.
Exactly. Agitation, instability stops you moving forward. It's the monkey mind just swinging wildly, pulling you everywhere except where you want to go.
Okay. And the last one. The fifth is skeptical doubt. This one's subtle. It's like a faulty compass reading, or maybe your chart's conflict. It creates uncertainty about the path itself.
As you hesitate. You hesitate, or you just get paralyzed. You start questioning if this whole journey is worthwhile or even possible for you. It's insidious because it doesn't just question the path. It makes you question your ability to walk it.
Wow. That's quite a list of hazards.
It is. And fundamentally, these hindrances, they're often fueled by deeper cravings, like the craving for things to last forever, for pleasure to never end.
Craving for existence.
Yeah. Or the flip side. The craving to escape discomfort, to numb out, to avoid difficult feelings, the craving for non-existence. Understanding those roots makes preventing the hindrances much more effective.
Okay, understanding the hindrances, seeing them as these hazards on the map, that really clarifies things. But the crucial bit is, How do we actually do it?
Then,
how do we prevent them taking hold? How do we keep the RAFT on course?
Right. So prevention isn't just wishing them away. It's built through specific intentional practices. A really key one is mindfulness.
Okay. Being aware.
Being aware, yes. But more specifically, developing that recognition. Noticing the subtle beginnings of these harmful impulses in thoughts, feelings, body sensations.
Before they get big.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Practices like the body scan or just being mindful of the physical body,
mm-hmm.
they help us do a few things. They help counter that idealization of pleasure we talked about.
Uh-huh.
They increase our ability to tolerate distress, to sit with discomfort without immediately reacting. And they help us see cravings as just temporary experiences, not commands we have to obey.
So it creates space.
It creates objective space, a gap. And in that gap, you can choose your response instead of just reacting on autopilot.
That connects with neuroscience too, doesn't it? The brain predicting things.
Absolutely. Our brains are constantly predicting based on the past and literally sculpting their own wiring through experience. Mindfulness helps us feed the brain new information in that gap.
Yeah.
So it starts to predict differently, to wire itself for more skillful responses, not just repeating old habits. It's not just being present passively. It's actively creating that tiny, powerful moment of choice.
That sliver of space.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the change happens.
That's where transformation is born, yes. Another huge piece of the foundation is ethical conduct. Sometimes called the five gifts.
The five gifts, okay.
These are intentions that act as a sort of guardrail, preventing unskillful actions and actively cultivating positive ones. And importantly, they're framed as aspirations.
Aspirations, meaning it's okay if you slip up.
Exactly. It's not about perfectionism or shame. If you fall short, the idea is self-compassion and just renewing your commitment, not beating yourself up.
That's important. So what are they?
First, harmlessness. Basically, refraining from causing physical or deep emotional harm to yourself or others. Second, trustworthiness. Not taking what isn't given, building integrity.
Makes sense.
Third, sexual responsibility. Avoiding actions that cause harm in that area. Fourth, truthfulness and kind speech. So avoiding lying, harsh words, gossip, divisive talk.
Okay.
And fifth, clarity of mind. This means refraining from intoxicants to the point where your awareness gets clouded, where you become careless.
That last one feels particularly relevant for this kind of journey.
It really is, because intoxication directly undermines the very awareness you need to navigate your RAFT, you know? It makes it harder to uphold all the other intentions, too.
So mindfulness gives us the awareness, the ethical conduct gives us the guardrails. It sounds like a solid setup. But what about that sheer willpower, that commitment to stay the course, especially when things get tough? Which brings us to Sajja, right?
Yes, exactly. Sajja, it translates roughly as a sacred vow, a deep intention, a really firm commitment.
A vow.
Yeah. There's a teaching from Wat Thamkrabak, a monastery in Thailand known for helping people with harmful dependencies. They say the herbal detox part is maybe 5% of ending the suffering.
Only 5%.
Only 5%. The other 95%, they say, is the commitment to Sajja.
Wow.
It's this profound promise you make to yourself. Often they involve invoking the natural elements as witnesses, a promise not to go back to the specific unskillful patterns. It's a wholehearted dedication to cultivating a new, healthier way of being.
So it's like planting your flag.
Yeah.
Declaring your intention firmly.
Very much so. It's choosing a different direction with unwavering resolve.
Yeah.
It really strengthens that resolve to prevent. We've been talking about it. It makes it personal, yeah. Sacred almost.
Okay, so pulling this all together, the resolve to prevent isn't just about stopping bad habits. It's much more dynamic. It's this conscious application of effort.
Right, guided by mindfulness.
And those ethical commitments, the five gifts.
Mm.
It really is like constantly checking the compass, trimming the sails on your RAFT, proactively steering towards liberation, towards well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how these, you know, ancient concepts really resonate with modern psychology, isn't it? It shows how timeless these human struggles are and the power we have in conscious choice. Absolutely. And this whole deep dive into the resolve to prevent, it really is a personal journey. It can be incredibly empowering. It's rooted in that understanding, that sustained effort, that right effort, combined with clear awareness. It really can change the direction of your life.
It lets you build that sturdy vessel.
You reach the shore you choose.
So as we wrap up, maybe a thought for you, the listener, to reflect on. If you were to decide to adopt a personal Sajja, a vow for your own journey, which one would you choose and why?